Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ordinary Church Podcast. This is a podcast about the church and for the church. I'm Connor, I'm here with Mike, and we're diving into a part two today. We are talking about the five perfections of Scripture. Last week, we kind of introduced that topic, talked about a little bit of the history and development of these kind of five perfections of Scripture, and we looked at the first two of them, which is the necessity of Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture. So that's what we spent the last podcast talking about. To quickly review, Mike, is it okay if I just kind of give a quick synopsis? So just to quickly review, we talked about the necessity of Scripture, that it is necessary for someone to come to know Christ and grow in Him. Without the Bible, there's no knowledge of salvation. There's no way to have relationship with the one true God. So the Bible is necessary. It's also sufficient. We talked a little bit about a biblical counseling statement that's recently come out emphasizing that Scripture is sufficient to deal with the problems that humans face as they're wanting to grow in following Christ. We had a longer conversation about the sufficiency of Scripture, but the main point would be that to know and grow, the Bible is sufficient for what a believer needs in their life. Mike, we have three more today that we're going to get into. So of the kind of traditional four, we have the clarity of Scripture, we have the authority of Scripture, and there's kind of a mystery fifth perfection coming as well. But can we start with clarity and just kind of move from there?
Okay, clarity. So it's also known as perspicuity, okay, which means clear, okay? So what does that mean? It means you can understand and grasp it, okay? Yeah. Everything necessary for salvation is clear in Scripture. Now, that doesn't deny that there are some passages hard to understand. 2 Peter 3:15-16, right?
Right.
That's very clear that there are some things hard to understand and the unstable twist or distort them to their own destruction. But anyone who studies the Word of God can discern the basic meaning of salvation and what it means to please God.
There you go.
Yeah.
And give one major caveat, anybody with the Spirit, right?
Right.
Because
you have to be regenerated to understand the word. The natural man does not understand the things given by the Spirit.
Yeah. So for the person who's regenerated, who has the Spirit illuminating their understanding, the word is clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's clear. So you hear it, you receive it, you understand, you believe it, you obey it, live it, do it. So that's kind of, let's just go to the next one. Okay. I think we're clear there.
Yeah, good.
Clear.
It's all clear.
Crystal clear. Okay. So.
Okay. So the authority of Scripture.
Yeah. So that's big. It's above all earthly powers, okay? It's the idea of the authority of Scripture is that it is authoritative, okay? Which means that all the words, now this is going to be a strong statement, but I believe it with all my heart. All the words are God's words.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
All the words in Scripture are God's words, and disobeying or not believing any part of Scripture means you are disobeying or not believing God.
Hmm.
Now, we can put a caveat on that and say any part of Scripture rightly handled in context according to authorial intent.
Right.
But that means, though, if someone outright says, I don't believe in the doctrine of election. I don't believe in predestination. Well, they are denying what God has said. So they are literally disobeying or not believing God at that point.
Hmm.
And that's serious. That's serious. God's word is supreme over all other communication, including yours and mine and our thoughts and our words. So the authority of Scripture, all the words of God's words, and disobeying or not believing any part of Scripture means you're disobeying or not believing God.
Yeah. Is it that binding? You always use the phrase conscience binding.
Yeah, conscience
binding. So in other words, you hear the word, there's an authority to it where to reject it, it really does lead to true direct consequences from God to you.
You reject God's word, you're rejecting God.
Yeah.
You are literally rejecting God, and then you're trying to make him into your own image. Mm. And I realize that sounds so strong because it is.
Hmm.
It is strong, okay? That a Christian cannot reject the word of God and not be in some kind of jeopardy, okay?
Yeah.
And that a Christian who literally says, again, I'm just going to cut these pages out of my Bible because I don't believe them, that's scary. You have to start saying, wait a minute, what do you think you're doing? But how many Christians even know about the authority of Scripture? This is how low the church has fallen in terms of understanding basic biblical ideas.
No, we can move on to this last one, but I just am thinking, like, a lot of people, I think, would hear what we're saying and they go, yeah, I'm down for the necessity, the sufficiency, the clarity, the authority of Scripture.
Yeah.
But then there's the neglect of the word in the churches and in the individual lives, right?
Yeah, that and also this. What if I say to you, Connor, I come up to you. I mean, people have said stuff like this to me before. The Lord just gave me a word for you, Connor.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wants me to tell you to go buy a white refrigerator with a freezer on the bottom today. You need to go do that.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like you need to go do that?
I don't.
But the Lord said to, I'm saying to you that the Lord told
you taught
me
too well for me to
tell you, of course. Yeah. But here's the thing though. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to control you at baseline. I'm trying to bind your conscience with that idea. The Lord told me, now there's an authoritative word from God, from me to me for you. Well, how that's so wrong. Let me tell you why that's so wrong. I do not have the ability to bind your conscience. Now, for example, who oversees you at Grace Church of Orange?
You do.
Right. And, right. And our bylaws even say like, I literally hire staff.
Uh-huh.
Now here's the deal. We don't ever talk about stuff like this, but do I have the power to tell you to go rob a bank? Oh, excuse me. To make you, I could, you know, lose my mind and tell you to do
that. You could tell. Yeah.
But do I have the authority to make you do it?
You don't have the authority to make me do
that.
No. Right.
Now, if I give you a directive that's like within reason,
uh-huh.
and an assignment.
You do have the authority to do that.
But you still need to agree, okay? I still can't bind your conscience.
Right.
Which means that there is there's an eternal, something eternal is in the balance.
Yeah.
Like, so for example, love one another or forgive your enemies or bless those who persecute you, all these kind of things. If I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, lots of Christians have blown through that stop sign, okay?
Hmm.
But let's just say you do that. You are searing your conscience. You're hurting your conscience because God binds your conscience on that.
Hmm.
You must do what he says. You must obey the scriptures. The scriptures are conscience binding.
Right.
Because they're authoritative.
Right.
You must obey or be walking in disobedience.
Yeah.
And then that's in God's hands.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's helpful. I think one comment and then we can move on unless you have anything else, but just at the you know level of elders shepherding in the church, just thinking about this, I think it's helpful to remember your role is to guide and lead with the authority of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds obvious, but there's a danger, I think, in, well, I see this path making sense for them, so I'm going to speak to them in a way that, you know, quote, binds their conscience. But actually, no, that's not your job. Your job is to help them be bound and obedient to the Word of God. So, Mike, the mysterious fifth perfection that's going to make its way onto all the lists now.
What could it be?
We're ready for it. What could it be?
What could it be?
Do you want me to take my guess? Or
yeah,
I really don't know. I think, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of all the words that you always use. Mm-hmm. I would just say inerrant. I don't know.
Scallywag. Oh my goodness. How did you come up with that?
Is that actually what it is?
No.
Ah!
All right. No, it's not. So I know, because here's the thing. I would say, well, it could be inspiration. Could be inspiration.
Uh-huh.
The inspiration of Scripture, right? All Scripture breathed out by God, theopneustos, right?
Yeah.
Could be inerrancy. Inerrancy. 100% true in everything it affirms in the original manuscripts. Never wrong. Could be that. What about infallibility?
Yeah.
Could I do a twist on that and say it's infallibility? The Bible will never mislead you? It's none of those. Now, all those things are true about the Bible. Those are characteristics about the Bible. Okay. And maybe we make it a sixth thing. Okay. Mm. That's not the one I've got. The one I added is this. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Drum roll.
And
just
it
in
is.
Case anyone fell asleep.
And it is.
Okay.
And
here
it
we
is.
Go. Power.
Power.
Power. Power.
I like it.
The power of the word. The word at work in our hearts and lives changes us and transforms the way we think and live.
Boom.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The power of Scripture.
Yeah.
And I think it goes, it's necessary, it's sufficient, it's clear, it's authoritative.
And it has power.
Right. Yeah. And what do I love to say? Mm. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God in the lives of the people of God for the glory of God.
Yep.
The power of the Word is quick and powerful. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It's living. It's active.
Yeah.
Right? It's able to sanctify you. It's able to save you. and sanctify you. Mm-hmm. We are basically saved by the living and abiding word of God.
Yeah.
So wow, that's big. That's big.
Yeah. Amen. Powerful. No, it's powerful. Yeah. I mean, there's just, you can multiply passages, but you know, he's caused to be born again by the word of truth. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then of course, all throughout our life, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus prays, right? John 17. And there's places you could go after places you could go. Yeah. Can I ask a question? How do you think about this as somebody who's been in pastoral ministry for many years and you've seen it? You know, you have that front row seat to watch the word of God mm-hmm. do work in people's lives.
Well, John MacArthur says it this way. You've heard him say this many times. I open up the Bible and I start talking and the word did the work.
Yeah.
The word did the work. The word did the work. And you're like, yeah, but you're really good at it, you know? And people listen
to
John, you.
Yeah, John, easy for you to say. Yeah.
But the thing is that that's true. I remember the first time I ever opened my Bible in front of a group and gave a gospel presentation and someone responded by believing in the Lord Jesus. Hmm. I remember thinking to myself, this was the summer of 1984. I was up in Big Bear. We were doing this Good News Club in a neighborhood. And there were five of us that had been sent out from First Baptist Church of Downey to the First Baptist Church of Big Bear. And we had gathered this group. And it was my first time to ever be like, you're going to give the message. And I gave it and people got saved. And I've seen it over and over again. I've seen it where someone will say to me, you know, I got saved the first Christmas you were at Grace Church in 06 on December like 18th or whatever. And you were preaching and you said this, this, and this, and you preached the gospel and I believed. And you think about people who are saying, and I've seen it over and over again. You have too. And then I see people saying, the word has affected my life. Like, I believe it. I love it. I want to obey it. And you go, it's not their, you know, power. It's not their willpower or whatever it is, or their resolve. Now, interestingly, it's not going to happen without it, but God changes our hearts.
Right.
And we get converted. We get convinced that this is true. And everything, it's like the psalmist in Psalm 119, like, I have more wisdom than my counselors. Hmm. I have more wisdom than my teachers because I have the word. I remember being at Long Beach State in 1982 after I got saved. And my Bible that I was carrying around with this hardcover NASB that someone gave me. And I remember it was under my desk, you know, at Long Beach State. I remember looking under the desk one day going, my whole life is wrapped up in that book from here on out. I was a brand new baby Christian. But God gave me the understanding from the word because I got saved under the preaching of the word. And then I'm like, this is my life from here on out. So the power of the word, you cannot harness it. You cannot underestimate it. I keep standing back in awestruck wonder going, wow, that person repented. And they're not telling me they repented. I just see it. I know it. But what they're saying in their life, what they're doing in their life, and they have a testimony of faith. I've seen men in our church get saved this year and be walking in repentance. I've seen other men who had fallen and got back up and humbly started following the Lord. And every one of them will say, the word is at work in my life in the context of relationships I'm in and being encouraged towards that and
all
being
of that
fellowship of the church. But it's the spirit using the word to change.
Praise God.
The power of the word.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add. Yeah. Mike, anything else from you, whether on the power or to wrap up this entire little kind of mini series on these five perfections, where would you want to leave us?
I would say this to any of our listeners, to all of our listeners. And I say it to us as well, to myself as well. If you ever have a moment in your life or you ever come into a period of your life or a season where you start to question any of these things, say, I don't know if the Bible is that necessary or if it's really sufficient or if it's clear enough or if it's authoritative or if it's powerful to change. If you ever find yourself in that mode, or maybe you find yourself in that mode right now, cry out to God. Cry out to God and ask Him to show you that your thinking is wrong.